don't remember where we come in on this song, Rick. So live at AsylumFantasyFootball.com, it's the Tuesday Night Blitz.
Yes, indeed. We are Fligger and Briggs. Welcome to the Asylum. And you know what? Say what you want. AC/DC stays cool.
Cool, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
It's catchy.
Yeah.
Cool. Introduce the show, for God's sake.
I don't have to. This is great. No, drop us a line, asylumfootball@gmail.com.
Taking all your requests live. That's where Thunderstruck comes from tonight, at Asylum Football on Twitter.
Yes, and don't forget, locals, WSRU 88.1 FM, the voice of the rock. And you know, we got a good show tonight.
Well, let's not oversell it.
Well, you know, we have someone on the show to make it better.
Yeah, we do have a special guest. Here's our intro right here.
He's a fantasy football genius, okay? No wife. No job, just pure football knowledge.
I think we all know we're talking about Dennis Farrell. Dennis, how are you doing?
Sadly, I do have a wife.
I don't think that was very nice.
She's not here, so don't worry.
Say that.
But this is Dennis Farrell from the Family Sideline Show, and about NBC Sports, Fox, the military, you know, Armed Forces Network. Tell them everything, where they can find you.
Oh man, listen, we just did this like 8 minutes ago, but we'll do it again. NBC Sports Radio, Detroit 1090. That's a website, I think, too. You can find me over at FoxSportsDetroit.com. You can find me over the Armed Forces Radio Network doing fantasy football updates, Twitter, Dennis77Farrell, and Facebook, Dennis Farrell, F-A-R-R-E-L-L.
Is that all? You must be bored.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, here's what we're going to...
You know, I get tired of it.
So here's what we're going to do tonight. Dennis set up a bit of a celebrity draft. We're going to go through pick by pick. So we'll step aside, Dennis, let you introduce all of this, let everybody know what's going on, and we'll jump right into it.
Basically, fans of the Asylum, it was a 14-team celebrity league. And if I throw out a name that you don't know, I highly recommend you go Google it, because these are some very talented people that you will recognize as soon as you see their faces. And you may not know my name, and they deserve a ton of credit for what they did. This league was hosted by the Bear Down podcast. Matt Walsh, who's in this league, and Scott Armstrong. Scott Armstrong has written and produced some of your favorite movies like Hangover 2. He did Road Trip, Old School, and Semi-Pro. Those were some of the movies he's either written or produced. And you would know Matt Walsh. He's the redhead guy in the Old School who basically was like begging to get into the little club. Just go look him up. Google him. He's on HBO's Veep. And they do this Chicago Bears Bear Down podcast, which is amazing. One of my favorite podcasts out there. And this is their league. Anthony Adams, former Bear and 49ers in it. Matt Beezer, Brad Morris, Rob Riggle, Ron Livingston from Office Space, and Band of Brothers is in it. Former MLB player Frank Catalano, Dave Glover from St. Louis Radio, Mark Bulger, former Rams and Ravens quarterback, and I guess I'll throw Max Foisy's name in there, who's the producer of the Dave Glover show. So bunch of who's of who's, minus me.
Sounds like a tree full of owls there. But no, it should be interesting. Who's of who's. I mean, you know, just a little play on words.
Good Lord. We're down to bad puns now.
It's humor.
Oh, God. Sorry. Go ahead.
I don't know. You know, you try to lighten the mood up a little bit, and this is what you get for your trouble. I'm just going back to my old self.
Old is correct. So let's take a look at it, Dennis. We're just going to look at it round by round, I think, is the big thing. I think the ultimate goal being to identify which team is yours and to rag on it vociferously, I believe, is what the ultimate goal is. So round one, Team Morris, Adrian Peterson, number one overall. I don't think any arguments there. Team Livingston, Doug Martin, two. Jamal Charles, three. C.J. Spiller, four. Arian Foster goes five. Now, I noticed that one's highlighted. And what I also can't help but notice, my friend, is it's not a wide receiver. Defend yourself.
This is a standard league, and around the fifth pick in a standard league, and Arian Foster falls to you. That's amazing value right there. And I felt like I was I'm not too concerned with the injuries. The area, this is the same song and dance with Arian Foster. Once you get used to it, you get comfortable. And I couldn't pass up Arian Foster for any of the wide receivers I do really like.
So when we're looking at Arian Foster, you say you don't worry about the injury, and it's the ultimate question. We've talked about it a couple weeks in a row. Call me crazy. Something feels different about this one. We're dealing with the bag. We're not dealing with a bum ankle, which I think we dealt with a lot. Talking about it affecting feeling in his legs or his feet, if I remember correctly. I'm a little more nervous about this, and I'll tell you, in a lot of mocks I've done over the last couple of weeks, I see him dropping 9, 10. You have no concern about this injury right now?
I don't. You know, I have other concerns about other running backs. You know, I've mentioned on several podcasts, C.J. Spiller has a lot of drama going on in his life. And not to mention, he's still an injury-prone running back who has yet to carry the whole load down there in Buffalo. I'm not sure he can do it. He's going 4, for God's sakes. I'm willing to roll the dice on a top-tier running back who can fall to me at 5.
And expanding on that point, Spiller is now on a team where Mr. Tool is the starting quarterback. And if there's anybody out there to focus on the run game, it's against Buffalo.
Oh, good luck. You know, it's unfortunate the drama going on in his life right now with his stepfather, who I do believe the reports are his stepfather murdered 2 people and then turned a gun on himself. Yeah, it's a very unfortunate circumstances for every family involved. But what is this going to do for C.J. Spiller? Is C.J. Spiller going to rise above this and have a storybook season, or is he going to crumble under the pressure of being a starting running back for the first time in family drama? I don't know, and I'm not going to try to guess on this, but I will say this, I'm avoiding him.
Yeah, it's always tough with those situations. We've seen it go both ways 100%. So moving past that, at number 6, the Morgantown Bullets. I have to assume that's Mr. Bulger, I'm guessing.
Sadly.
I heard you say in the preamble on your show, already the biggest trash talker in the league. I was thinking about this while we were waiting to go live, and as a Western Pennsylvania native, I think that might have a little bit to do with it. But he grabs at number 6, who I still think is the steal of every draft of every first round, Ray Rice, falling all the way to 6, behind question marks. As far as I'm concerned, question marks with Doug Martin, question marks with C.J. Spiller. I'm still a little iffy on Arian Foster, but Ray Rice, I think, just a sure thing and consistently falling 6, 7, 8, 9. I think this guy is the steal of every first, if there's such thing as a steal in the first round.
I just think with a standard format, I'm not sure Ray Rice is as good a value as maybe Marshawn Lynch at that position, to be quite honest. Look, he's going to catch a 75 ball. I understand that. But, yeah, you put Beast Mode at 1,400 yards and maybe 12, 13 touchdowns, that may be a little bit better pick. But, yeah, it's hard to argue with Ray Rice.
I love Ray Rice there, and that probably would have been who I went with if Arian Foster went book for me. But unfortunately, I had the chance of getting Arian Foster at 5, which meant I had to let Ray Rice go. But to me, Ray Rice wasn't even the steal of the first round. That happened at pick 13 when we get there.
Yeah, no question about that. So moving on, the first question mark I have in this first round, Team Coldwind, Aaron Rodgers, no question, top fantasy quarterback in the league, no question, a lot of production, but in what is becoming quickly or looking like shaping up to be the year of the quarterback in fantasy football, I can't advise anybody who hasn't drafted yet enough, you can wait on your quarterback. You can wait on your quarterback. Please, for the love of God, wait on your quarterback.
It burnt me, that strategy, and I'm a quarterback waiter, but I waited a little too long. Listen, in all honesty, can you really argue with in a 14-team league getting your quarterback first? I can argue with it being at 7 a little bit too early if there is a such thing for a quarterback this year. But if you're going to reach on a quarterback at 7 in the first round, I guess it's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and I'm with the same philosophy, wait on him a little bit, but you know, if you're going to take your quarterback, take Aaron Rodgers. The biggest surprise to me was Drew Brees actually being the 3rd quarterback taken in the draft.
Someone had to be him. That's all I'm going to say. You know, Drew Brees should have been the second. Peyton Manning went at number 11 to Beezer, who you should go Google Matt Beezer. He's a UCB guy. Takes Peyton Manning at 11. That, to me, is the big question mark of that first round.
Yeah, no question about it. So to round it out, we went from Rodgers to Marshawn Lynch, Calvin Johnson, Trent Richardson, obviously Manning at 11, Alfred Morris at 12, LeSean McCoy 13. As you said, the steal of the draft right there, this Chip Kelly offense with everything they're doing in Philadelphia, Marshawn Lynch with the lack of wide receivers. I'm sorry, LeSean McCoy just shaping up for me to have a huge year. I'm thinking this is, you're looking at a top five or six back when all the dust settles at the end of the season.
I absolutely agree. He's a guy I've been targeting in a lot of my... There's only three running backs I'm buying into. LeSean McCoy, Ray Rice, and Matt Forte. If any one of those three guys are at me and I'm drafted at the end of the first round, I'm going to try to take one and come back around and get the other guy. Those are the only guys I really feel comfortable about doing. At number five, I think it was a tad bit of a stretch for McCoy because I thought that there's a chance Matt Forte goes in the second round. And like I said, I'm Arian Foster, one more time to kind of defend the pick. I understand a lot of people's concern, but when healthy, he's a number one or number two running back. And a chance to maybe strike gold at that pick at five was why I took it.
Yeah, it's fair enough. I'm a little... A little cautious on Foster, but look, the guy scores touchdowns, and he could very well just be another training camp where he's banged up like normal and he goes out and rushes for 16, 17 touchdowns. But we move on to the second round with Dez Bryant went at the 15th pick, which I think is a good pick there. He's obviously a top. I got him ranked number four, I think, right now behind A.J. Green, Marshall, and Calvin. But you can't hardly argue with Bryant. Matt Forte went at 16, and then A.J. Green.
Hold on, I want to stop you there, Rick. Matt Forte, and Dennis, you mentioned him as one of the three guys you trust this year. This guy rocketing up. This was a late second, early third round back in May when we started mocking in April and May. This guy has just shot up for the preseason he had. I still have questions. I'm still a little nervous by him. I worry about the workload he's going to get. I worry about the goal line carries. 2 weeks ago, we got the goal line carry. We all felt good. Last week, Michael Bush gets the goal line carries. I'm still a little nervous. I'm still a little gun-shy on Matt Forte. Now, with the 16th overall pick, I'm not gun-shy on him. But talking about one of the three guys you absolutely trust, that's where I get a little bit nervous.
You know what? In Matt Forte's defense, even if he gets half the red zone carries, that's still more than he had last season. So that's enough for me to say he's a second-round running back.
Yeah, I like Matt Forte this year, to be honest with you. And, you know, a lot of people say he's an injury concern, but, yeah, let's face it, he's been playing banged up quite a bit, and last year was kind of just a down year. I like Forte. I think he's going to get a lot of goal line carries this year in that offense.
So moving on, A.J. Green. Frank Gore pretty high at 18. Julio Jones, 19, ahead of Brandon Marshall. We see Tom Brady go at 21. I'll just read these off, and then we'll go back and hit any surprises, anything we like. Stephen Ridley at 22, Jackson at 23. Dennis, you grabbed Demaryius Thomas. I love that pick. I have Demaryius Thomas ranked above a lot of these guys that went ahead of him. Jimmy Graham, Larry Fitzgerald, Reggie Bush, 27th overall, I think a huge value, and rounded out at 28 with Chris Johnson. Let's swing back real quick and talk about, first of all, Stephen Ridley. Here's a guy, he goes ahead of Steven Jackson, he goes ahead of Reggie Bush, he goes ahead of Chris Johnson. Here's a guy, I'm not certain how much of that workload he's going to get in New England. You never know what you're going to get out of the hoodie up there. Even with the lack of receivers with a Gronkowski injury, this is going to be a pass-first offense. I think Stephen Ridley's one of the guys being terribly, terribly overdrafted this year.
If this was PPR league, I would totally agree with you that some of these guys should have gone ahead of him. But seeing this as a standard league and this is an offense trying to find itself, I really do like Ridley. Ridley is one of those guys that could be, I think his ceiling would be 1,200 yards, in my opinion. The touchdowns will be there for him. And he doesn't catch a lot of passes, but Shane Vereen, who everybody is worrying about and calling still in the draft, is lining up at running back, lining up at wide receiver, playing a bunch of different positions. So I don't see that really cutting in to Stephen Ridley when they have Vereen doing other things.
One guy that stuck out to me, now I know he really hasn't given us a lot of reason to doubt him, although everyone has the last few years. But still, Frank Gore going ahead of Brandon Marshall, Stephen Ridley, Stephen Jackson, Chris Johnson. Boy, I tell you, I'm not sure that Gore's going to go full blast this year. Is this the year? See, that's the thing. He really hasn't given us any reason to think he wasn't, even though everyone still does.
And you know what? I'll say this probably many times in this podcast. Someone has to finish last.
So let's go back. That is the Arkansas Beezer. Who did we have in the first round there? Peyton Manning. So starting out, Peyton Manning, Frank Gore. Not getting the warm and fuzzies necessarily on that one as you look at. And let's talk about what you're really interested in tonight. Dennis, your team after two rounds, Arian Foster, Demaryius Thomas. I don't think you could have started much stronger there.
You know, I was hoping Steven Jackson would fall to me. He didn't. And then I really eyed Jimmy Graham. And I thought, okay, I'll pass up on Jimmy Graham. And my thinking was, I'll come back around and maybe in the third or fourth round and try to spell Gronkowski. You know, this was before, and a lot of people assumed Gronkowski was on the pup list already, and he wasn't. And that's why I've been trying to snatch him up early in a lot of drafts, is because, you know, worst case scenario, he misses 40% of the fantasy football season. Best case scenario, you get a second round player in the fourth or fifth round, and he comes back at week three. And I that was my thinking. So I passed up on Jimmy Graham, went with Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, no question about it. I love that pick, Demaryius Thomas. This is a guy I honestly think the way that Denver offense is moving, the way Peyton Manning is still doing what Peyton Manning does, he's the big target, he's a deep threat, he's the red zone threat. Demaryius Thomas, I think, he seems to be ranked, you know, right about where he's fallen behind the names of Brandon Marshall, A.J. Green, Dez Bryant. I think he might jump up into that top three category before it's all said and done. Let's jump to round three. The quarterback carousel continues here with Cam Newton going with the first pick of the third round. Down to Rob Gronkowski, MJD, David Wilson. I see highlighted Randall Cobb. We'll stop there. This is a guy I keep railing on it. I know there's concerns with Jordy Nelson. I know they're going to throw the ball. Randall Cobb, a pick ahead of Andre Johnson, two picks ahead of Roddy White, Wes Welker, Vincent Jackson, Victor Cruz. That's where it starts to drop off. I'm not sure still that Randall Cobb is at the top of that second tier. I still really have questions with that, and I'm a little nervous of that pick.
PPR league, I would have gone Roddy White ahead of Randall Cobb. You know, Wes Welker, I'm not sure what his role is going to be. Vincent Jackson, listen, when this guy's on, he's on. But how many times has Vincent Jackson given you a goose egg in the regular season and killed you? That's another reason why I'm trying to avoid him. So Randall Cobb, a lot of question marks. Amazing upside. I think this right here was probably my big stretch, but Cobb wasn't going to be there when I came back around.
So you like him in standard better than Andre Johnson?
I do, because only, and listen, this is just me personal, I've had Andre Johnson the last 4 years, not minus last year when he was successful, and he killed me with injuries. And he's just one of those players that you swear I'm never going to draft a guy. Andre Johnson could have two more healthy seasons. I'm still going to pass him up because I remember the bad times we had together. And that's probably why I went Randall Cobb.
One team I'm just noticing right now are through the third round. They were the first ones, the team Cold Wind, they were the first ones to take a quarterback with Aaron Rodgers at the seventh pick. Rick kind of called out his second-round pick at Stephen Ridley as a question mark. And then in the third round, he goes another running back. But, boy, just as big a question mark in my mind with Darren McFadden.
Rob Riggle. Just so you know, Rob Riggle's team.
Enough said.
I like Darren McFadden. Yes, I do like Darren McFadden this season. I think, you know, I've never owned him, so I've never been bitten by his injury bug. But, you know, look at Reggie Bush. who is one of the most injury-prone running backs, puts two back-to-back seasons not being injury-prone. And I know I'm going to sound hypocritical and talk it out of the other side of my mouth with the Andre Johnson thing, but maybe this is a year that Darren McFadden can put it all together. And listen, if he's healthy and playing, he's a first-round running back. He's falling to the third round in a 14-team league, usually fifth round in a 12-team, 10-team league. That's amazing value, and it's hard to pass up there.
Yeah, and I think the big thing there, look, I have a lot of question marks. I, unfortunately, have been several times over burned by Mr. McFadden. I have several times over been made the fool in the preseason on this, on these very airwaves, screaming that this was the year, and if and when he stays healthy, this guy has the potential to be the number one fantasy back in the NFL, and he continues to burn me. So, and full disclosure, that's where my trepidation comes from. But look at the running backs after him.
And huge now red flag. We just saw a report today where Raiders were saying his shoulder will be fine. He'll be ready by week one. Oh, and, I mean, it's already just waving around out there. He drives you nuts.
But look after him. DeMarco Murray, the next running back to go. Then we jump to the fourth round. Now you're getting into your Eddie Lacy's, your Monty Ball's, your Giovanni Bernard's. I think at that point, Darren McFadden, that's about where he belongs. I have no issue with that pick. Is it a huge question mark? Absolutely. But is there value there, the 35th overall pick? I think there's value there in huge upside. Maybe you potentially get a top 10 fantasy running back middle of the third round of a 14-team league. It's a huge risk, yes, but I think it's one worth taking.
I mean, he's almost forced to.
DeMarco Murray.
Go ahead, Dennis.
DeMarco Murray's just as injury-prone as Darren McFadden is. People don't realize that. So, you know, it's the same comparison there. And like you said, you know, we don't know what we're getting from Eddie Lacy. And then we get into the bench, the best of the next tier of running backs. I think still Darren McFadden, even with his injury concerns, at 35 overall is a great, great pick.
Yeah, no question about it. And to go back to DeMarco Murray, goes 39th overall to Beezer. Look, DeMarco Murray, here's my issue with him. I have about a 6 or 7 game sample I can go off with him. Yeah, this is a man crush of Briggs over here. I understand that. It was a short run 2 seasons ago. He was banged up all year last year. This guy went easily second round all year last year. I suffered through a few teams with him. I'm not willing to get burned again. I think this is a pass-first team. I think they're going to distribute carries a little more evenly, and I think he's going to miss a lot of time.
However, unlike you, I've jumped off that bandwagon. I don't stay with Darren McFadden and Ryan Matthews year after year.
Oh, we'll get into Ryan
after
Matthews,
year.
Don't you worry.
Oh, fine. Is he still there?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, all right. I heard a click in there. I thought he hung up on us.
I've had enough.
I'm trying to get out of here, huh?
So after DeMarco Murray, Victor Cruz at 40. Here's a guy who's going a little low for me. I know he's been nicked up here. You worry Hakeem Nicks on the other side, how much he's going to play. Victor Cruz, he's got top 10 ability, and this guy consistently, you know, you're down at the bottom of the third round in a 14-team league, so you're talking about the top of a fourth round of a standard league. Here's a guy, I think, some real value there, especially in a standard scoring league, maybe less receptions, but the big play possibilities, finds himself in the end zone a lot. I love catching, Team Glover catching Victor Cruz at number 40 overall.
A great pick right there by Team Glover. And listen, the only reason why I passed on Victor Cruz was I think I like Randall Cobb just a little bit more. I like his upside. With Victor Cruz, we know what we're going to get. There's no shocker there. There's nothing that he can do that will reinvent the wheel when it comes to Victor Cruz's fantasy value. With Randall Cobb, he's on the upswing. The sky is the limit, and I'm excited to see what he can do.
I'll tell you who's the next round, going and just focusing on your pick. I love that T.Y. Hilton pick at number 52. I think he's poised to have a big year on a potent offense.
Man, you know what? Let's go through that round, because I will tell you, I was scared to make that pick. Is at 52, I love it. But I was a little scared because I had my eyes on a couple guys in this round that was sniped from me.
Yeah, let's read it off. Let's go through Eddie Lacy, first pick of the fourth round. Down to Jason Witten, probably the highest I've seen him go to this point. Hard to argue with a Jason Witten, though. Robert Griffin III, boy, that seems early for RG3. Marquise Colston, Darren Sproles, Tony Gonzalez, Mike Wallace, Reggie Wayne, Amendola, your pick of Hilton. We go down to Monte Ball, Giovanni Bernard, a pick I love that late, Dwayne Bowe, and James Jones at 56 overall. So some value there and some reaches there in this fourth round.
Would you call T.Y. Hilton a reach?
No, I love that pick myself. And I love the Dwayne Bowe pick at 55 as well. And I thought Team Livingston's got some good value there with him. Bernard, I like. I think he's more valuable PPR. I still think law firm's going to get his share down in the red zone, and he's probably still good for probably 500 to 600 yards this year and probably, you know, snatch some touchdowns. So I don't think he's quite as good a value in my mind in the standard format.
The one name missing for me in this fourth round is we're looking at the wide receivers when we're talking about, you know, Mike Wallace, question mark to me. We can maybe debate that a little more. But when we're talking Danny Amendola, T.Y. Hilton, Bo, James Jones, the one name that's sticking out to me that seems to be missing is Pierre Garçon. I think Pierre Garçon's a guy. I know we had the injury concerns last year. The number one guy in this offense, it seems to not matter if it's RG3 or Cousins. He's going to be the top target there. I think that's a guy whose name is missing amongst this tier of wide receivers.
And you know what? Here was my strategy. At 52, I really thought Reggie Wayne was going to fall to me, and I was going to pass up on T.Y. Hilton to get Reggie Wayne. And coming back around, I believe that I could have gotten Pierre Garçon. That was who I was targeting in the fifth round.
You know, and another name, it's a good point with Garçon, another one that I see that's not there, and I haven't gone back into the draft to really see where he fell, was Steve Smith. He seems to be falling again, and somebody's probably going to get pretty good value with him. I'm not sure where he went. I'm going to assume he probably went in the fifth round, which he did. I see that now. Yes, we'll move on to the fifth round.
He was the first pick in the fifth.
Yes, he was, and then followed by Lamar Miller and then Pierre Garçon. So they're right there bunched together with that tier of wide receivers that Rick was talking about. And then, kind of surprising, Hakeem Nicks coming in after those guys. And actually, Hakeem Nicks, I mean, we remember him a couple years ago, and now he's down with guys like the injury-prone Miles Austin, Torrey Smith. You know, Jordy Nelson's still going a little low. You know, people's kind of shying away from him. And then I'll stop at the next pick at 65, Ryan Matthews.
I love the Ryan Matthews pick at 65. I believe, like I said, I believe this is a year for redemption for a couple of these running backs. And look, if I'm wrong, it's going to cost you a fourth and fifth round pick, which is not going to end your fantasy season, much less a year or two ago when Matthews and McFadden were first round guys who burnt you. You know, the same thing with Arian Foster. There comes a time where there's a perfect value for the risk. And round five, round four, perfect value for those risks.
Yeah, I agree 100%. There's no question. I'm always down on Ryan Matthews, but look, round five, he's a 65th pick in a 12-team league. You're talking, going into the sixth round. So, I mean, that's excellent value. There's no doubt that you – look, I don't like the guy, but at sixth round, I think it's awesome.
But this is the year he finally puts it together.
It isn't. He sucks.
Sorry, I just had to hit it. No, absolutely. Look, Ryan Matthews this year – can you call him a sleeper? Probably. Steal of every draft? Absolutely. Reports coming out of camp. He's healthy. He's looking good. There's not going to be a passing game there, Rick, number one. Danny Woodhead, I don't see taking goal line carries away from him. Look, Woodhead's going to get his touches. There's going to be some gimmicks in there. Assuming health, and I have to assume health. He's going into the coming out of the offseason healthy. This is a guy 3 years ago was getting drafted in the first round. 2 years ago was getting drafted in the second round. The talent is there. His mind seems to be right. He's saying all the right things. When you're talking the 65th pick, you're probably talking, at least you and I, Rick, you're talking your third running back at that point. You're getting into the, you know, the sixth round here of a 12-team league, or 12-team league, the late fifth round of a 14-team. This is your third running back. You could absolutely strike gold. This is the guy I'm targeting over Darren McFadden.
And this is the
guy.
I'll
go ahead and take those running backs in the spot where Darren McFadden, or those receivers in the spot where Darren McFadden went. give me Ryan Matthews at this value. If it pans out, when it pans out, I'm going to make the declaration, Rick. This is the year. This is the year for Ryan Matthews.
That's fine. You can make a declaration. Go back to last year, listen to the shows. This is where I said he should have been last year, and you scoffed at me there.
And I'm scoffing
this
again.
This is where he should be.
I scoff in your general direction.
That's fine. You scoff. But this is where he should be until we get one of those years. And you know, unfortunately, I'm not convinced this is the year, but you have made the declaration, so apparently
it is. It's out there. It's a declaration. I think that's a David Cook song, one of his American Idol.
Yes,
but,
let's move on here. All right, let's move.
Even if it's not his year, at pick 65, it's not going to ruin your fantasy football season.
Precisely.
I think a down year, you might still be talking a flex guy, or if you can bring this guy off your bench, if he's healthy and playing, you're still going to see 20, 25 touches a week, even if the results aren't there in a bye week and in a pinch like that. I think this guy's a huge value.
Mm-hmm.
So moving through there, Lamar Miller, here's a guy, let's start there, 58th overall pick, Team Livingston. Lamar Miller, a guy was going mid-second round, mid-third round, as little as three or four weeks ago. The news coming out on Daniel Thomas, the news coming out of the RBBC potential there, this guy bottoming out. This is where you're seeing him going in 58th overall, somewhere in the late fourth, early fifth rounds. Lamar Miller, I've heard a lot of arguments for him. Now I'm starting to hear the arguments against. Where do you stand on this, Dennis?
You know what? He's going to be drafted there. He's not going to be drafted by me. I just one of those guys that I kind of want to see it. With Ryan Matthews, you know, we know he has a talent. We just don't know if he's healthy. With Lamar Miller, what do we know? And until I can get a season under my belt to kind of make my best guess about, I'll let someone else own him, and then I will kind of work around that and pick somebody that I trust a little bit more.
Yeah, he came out highly touted, and through the preseason, you start losing ground to Daniel Thomas. That's not building your fantasy case for a high draft pick. That's certainly true. And Matthews, Decker, Finley, Chris Ivory.
Well, don't jump ahead, Rick. You're getting too far ahead of yourself. We've talked about Garcon, Hakeem Nicks. I think the injury concerns, simply that. Dennis, you take Vernon Davis, 61st pick overall. Look, here's a guy, 2 years in a row, I've named him the number two tight end. Last year, I put him right behind Gronkowski. This year, I'm putting him right behind Jimmy Graham, moving Gronkowski down just due to the missed time. We see it every year in week 16, 17, and throughout the playoffs. Is this finally the year? Finally, am I going to be right in saying this is the year he does what he can do and what we've seen him do throughout the entire season?
This might have been my panic pick because I had Pierre Garçon lined up in this spot. And I was eyeing Jordy Nelson, who, by the way, is healthy. He's practicing in practice. He had an 85-yard touchdown when he beat double coverage. I believe in him. The knee scope, you know, was just stitches, basically. I thought he might fall to the sixth round. Someone might have been scared off. And I went Vernon Davis. I wanted Gronkowski. He was gone. And I felt like in this league, tight ends were going early and often. Quarterbacks were going early and often. So, you know what, why not roll the dice with Vernon Davis?
Yeah, why not? I mean, Gronk's gone, you know, Jimmy Graham's gone. I didn't really notice every other one that was gone tight end-wise. Gonzalez, of course, was gone. Jason Witten, I know, was gone. Yeah, so you're obviously got probably the best value at tight end right there in round five, no question about that.
And look, this is a guy, I say it, Rick, anybody who's listened to this show, the seven of you who've ever listened to two of them have heard. Look, Vernon Davis, physical freak. While I'm not a huge Kaepernick guy, and we didn't get into that, I thought he went a little high in this draft. Kaepernick's going to be looking at this guy. When you're scrambling around, when those types of plays, that's where Vernon Davis is going to thrive. He's a matchup nightmare. Give him a little bit of room to run. I truly believe this is the year he puts himself up into that elite category with your Grahams, with your Gronkowski, Witten perhaps. I'll tell you what, this year tight end is so shallow. I can see, Dennis, why you make this move here. After you get past Vernon Davis, maybe Antonio Gates, depending on what side of the fence you fall on that, maybe we'll get to that when he gets drafted. It just seems to drop off the table when you got 17 guys named Mo. We don't know who's going to emerge, if anyone's going to emerge. Tight end's a tough position to fill if you're not spending one of these early picks on him.
Let me ask you, you brought up Kaepernick. Does anybody notice, you know, the big question in the first, where did Kaepernick go at the end of the third round? About the team that took Kaepernick, go back and look at his draft. Here's my biggest question.
Oh, yeah. There you go. He drafted Drew Brees' first pick. And then in the first round, we didn't even notice that. Great eye. I didn't even notice that. And then he takes Kaepernick in the third round. So we have Drew Brees in the first. Then he goes Dez Bryant. Okay, no qualms there. Then he goes Kaepernick in the third, followed by Eddie Lacy. And then in the now he picks up Kyle Rudolph in the fifth, which obviously a position picker there, but he really likes quarterbacks.
So let me ask you, you walk out of a draft with probably easily two of the top 10, top 12 quarterbacks. Obviously, you're only playing one. Trade bait. Do you approve of this?
No, I believe trade bait guy, if this is actually said, and I've heard it said at drafts, should be drug outside and beaten. I don't like trade bait guy. Trade bait guy is going to try to get you to trade immediately after he makes that pick. Do not trade with this guy under any circumstances. If you're starting Blaine Gabbert at quarterback, ride with that all year. Do not trade. With, you did this, I believe, Rick, wasn't somebody trade baited you. We declared on the show it would never be done, and you did this. It was one or two fantasy seasons ago. I still haven't forgiven you. Never trade with trade bait guy. I don't approve it. It's not right. That's all I can say. I'm getting angry now.
I tell you what, I did this this year in one league, but not to this extent. I took Matt Ryan in the fifth, and I took Andrew Luck in the eighth round. So, I'm trade bait guy, but I'm less extreme.
Well, and you're trade bait guy in the eighth round, and maybe does it hurt to have a good backup if you're comfortable with the six other non-quarterback picks? We're talking two of your first four rounds. Two top ten, debatable, but I'll accept it for the purpose of this argument. Two top ten quarterbacks. And your problem there is where there's not a need, are you ever going to, as deep as a quarterback position is, whichever one you decide to trade, are you ever going to get fair value for him?
No, because I have Russell Wilson three rounds later, and now I'm wondering, do I try to trade up with Kaepernick for Kaepernick?
No.
And offer him a Russell Wilson and a bench guy?
Do not do it. Do not feed into this behavior.
I think Russell Wilson is going to be a better fantasy quarterback this year than Kaepernick. And I think you got a great pick in round 7 with Russell Wilson. But I want to go to round 6 with Dennis's pick. With the Jonathan Stewart on the pup list. D'Angelo Williams. What? And here we go. But that is great value. And Rick always says he'll never get him again and plays his song, but he drafts him in every mock that he ever does.
I can't seem to get away from him. But D'Angelo Williams. I'm sorry, hold on.
I love him.
We gotta let Taylor speak.
No, I think that is one of the best values.
All right, I'm sorry. Look, D'Angelo Williams. We've seen it happen before, though. Jonathan Stewart goes down, and you draft D'Angelo Williams, you draft both him and Jonathan Stewart, knowing, hoping one of them goes down, the other one's going to emerge as a fantasy star. It hasn't happened yet. D'Angelo Williams, was it 3-4 seasons ago, was going in the first round coming off that big year. He's just continued to disappoint time and time again. Now, at pick 80, I have no issue with it, but to say you love D'Angelo Williams, that's where I question it a little bit.
I was looking at Shane Vereen and Andrew Luck this round. Both of them went. Ahmad Bradshaw probably, Ahmad Bradshaw went, 9 picks before him. D'Angelo Williams is certainly going to put up better numbers than Ahmad Bradshaw. So I feel like he did get great value. And, he had over 700 yards and, 5 touchdowns last season while splitting carries. I don't, if he has 800 yards and 7 touchdowns, I feel like I got a steal.
I agree. And with Stewart on the on the pup list, and he's banged up all the time.
They should call it the Jonathan Stewart list.
Yeah, they really should. But the J-Stew list.
Now let's stick with the second pick. Obviously, Ahmad Bradshaw goes 71. 72, Chris Givens. This is a guy who's getting a lot of run all of a sudden. Tavon Austin was the darling beginning of the camp. Chris Givens passes him, actually goes two picks ahead of Tavon Austin. And interesting, the Chi-Town Cheetah Saros, I hope I'm saying that right, back-to-back, pick 69 goes Emmanuel Sanders. A little bit of a question mark, but I think a big upside guy, a guy I'm definitely targeting later in drafts. And then turn around and go Chris Givens, two sort of sleeper wide receivers, two guys, a lot of high ceilings, I would say. And I'm interested, Chris Givens versus Tavon Austin, where you fall on that.
I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I think they're both great guys, but I think they're both guys that are going a little too early for my blood. Givens is having an awesome camp, but how many times have we said, man, this guy's having a great camp, we got to jump all over him, and he disappoints us? I think Chris Givens is going to be a good wide receiver. I think if you're expecting anything more than 745 yards and 4 to 5 touchdowns, you're kidding yourself.
Yeah, so let's read through this. After Givens, Daniels, Tavon Austin, Matthew Stafford at 75. Love the value there for the St. James Smitties. Shane Vereen at 76, law firm. Antonio Brown, there's the next one that sticks out to me. It's 78 going after Emmanuel Sanders, going after Chris Givens, going after Tavon Austin. Look, I'm as down on the Steelers' offense as anybody, but Antonio Brown, the number one wide receiver in that offense with Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback, what value that late in the sixth round?
Hey, listen, Rob Riggle finally hit a home run with one of his picks.
That's all the love we're getting Riggle here, apparently. But yeah, and then we go Luck and D'Angelo Williams. Cecil Shorts, I think, was a good pick. DeSean Jackson comes at 82. Now, Team Livingston, I was looking over his draft. He's a guy that took Doug Martin to start with. Okay, he took Doug Martin to start with. Then in round two, he goes with Reggie Bush. I mean, running back is pretty good. And then he goes Gronkowski. And then he goes Dwayne Bowe, which is good value at 55. A little bit questionable pick with Lamar Miller. But then he turns around at 83, picks up Daryl Richardson, who is anointed the number one back with the Rams. This guy's building up some pretty good running back value, and I got to hand it to him. I kind of like what he's doing with this team here.
Let me ask you this bigger question is, three St. Louis Rams going round six, given Tavon Austin and Daryl Richardson, is this offense really good enough where three of their players go in the same round?
Oh, it is the sixth round.
But to answer the question, no. But I think I don't buy into either of the wide receivers. Now, Daryl Richardson, that's another story for me. Remember who their coach is. They're going to run the ball. They're going to lean heavily on the run. The offensive line, certainly durable, if anything else, certainly playable. Daryl Richardson, if he maintains the status as the number one guy, I think this at the end of the year, you're looking at the potential of a number two running back. You're getting in third running back, maybe early fourth running back. Fourth, that's extreme. I'm going a little crazy. But you're getting a number two running back value at three, getting them this late in the sixth round of a 14-team league, the seventh round of a standard league. This is a guy I'm targeting. I'm targeting him there. I'm actually targeting him around before as my third running back. This guy, I think, all the potential in the world, the ceiling really high on Daryl Richardson.
I like him there. I like his value there. I'm still a little curious as to how Isaiah P. will be handled when he comes back, and not to mention how Zach Stacy works out in this offense. It could be a crowded offense, or, you know, Daryl Richardson could separate himself from the rest of the pack.
Yeah, and if he does seem to separate himself, like Rick pointed out, Jeff Fisher, I mean, look back at Eddie George. He will run that guy to death, and there's not a whole lot of substitution when he gets a guy that he likes.
That's my point. I don't see Jeff Fisher with too much of a committee situation. You didn't see it last year outside of, well, my mind just went blank, Steven Jackson being banged up. If Richardson comes out and he's successful that first week or two while Pede's out, while they're still figuring out what to do with Stacy, I think a bit of a third down back, Fisher's a guy. He likes that workhorse back. He likes to feed him the ball. He likes to establish the run. Whoever comes out of this, and right now I have to assume it's Richardson, I think almost just by default, purely by workload, has to be successful.
Tim, let me ask you this, and this is just me purely throwing out a question. In all of those Tennessee Titan years, how many wide receivers can we name off those teams?
Absolutely none. Zero. It was run first all the time.
Now, this is the St. Louis Rams offense. It's built on the pass. So I don't know if we can really compare the two teams of then and now. They're two different
Kevin
built
Dyson.
Teams. And as much as I... Mm-hmm.
Kevin Dyson.
A delayed response.
Exactly, but these are two different built teams. So to say he's going to run them until his legs fall off may not be an accurate statement. Maybe if it was a team built like Tennessee was, sure. But this is a team built on the pass. You got wide receivers. You got a great tight end. So I'm not sure what you're going to get out of them.
Well, to that point, I agree with you there. But I still think if he is Jeff Fisher's guy, he's the guy that's going to be running the ball. And I really think that he got into his favor with the work that he did when Jackson went down last year. Look, he went out and he, you know, showed that he was a pretty good runner and maybe told Jeff Fisher that we can let Steven Jackson go and they'll still be fine.
And that's sort of my point. Maybe they're going to be a pass-first offense. I still question if Sam Bradford's good enough to head up a pass-first offense. They're going to run 20 to 25 running plays per game. I think my point with Darrell Richardson is if they're running, they run 25 plays for the run game, he's going to get 20 of them. I don't see Fisher splitting up carries if he has a guy he's high on, if he has a guy he believes in, to Rick's point.
Very interesting. We'll see what happens.
Let's move on to round 7 as Greg Olson rounded out round 6. We go to round 7 where T. Morris is making the turn. They take Ashlon Jeffery, who actually I think that's pretty good value. They're looking to expand his role a lot to take a little heat off of Brandon Marshall. Josh Gordon, and then Tony Romo goes. To me, that's great fantasy value. You can get him at 87.
That was who I was targeting this round. That was a quarterback I was going to get. I'm high on Romo. Here's a guy that almost had 5,000 yards passing last season and finished the year as the 8th best fantasy quarterback. And you're getting him in round 7 after everybody else's won. I was all in on Tony Romo in this round.
I'll never understand it, Dennis. We've talked about it on this show before. I believe we talked about it last time we had you on. I will never understand why Tony Romo goes so low. Do I want him coaching or quarterback in my team? No. Where you're never going to win a Super Bowl. You're not going to win a lot of playoff games. I want him quarterback in my fantasy football team. He's going to throw 40 times every game. He's going to throw for between 4,500 and 5,000 yards every year. You're going to have to put up with the interceptions, yes, but this guy is fantasy gold and continues year after year to be a steal in fantasy drafts.
You know what? He's the most non-popular quarterback in the league. Everybody loves to make fun of him. But you're right. Look, garbage time is still fantasy points, whether you're on top or under. I like Tony Romo.
I think it's unanimous. I think he's fantasy gold, just like Rick said. Right after him, Rashard Mendenhall, another real potential, I guess we'd call him a sleeper, although he's had success, but it's been some time, and now he's named the number one guy in Arizona. Look, they got a passing game. You know, Mendenhall goes back to some of his achievements with the Steelers in a couple of those years. He could be some value there. And then we'll get to yours, Russell Wilson. I thought that was an awesome pick after Romo.
Definitely a panic pick, because if I didn't get him, someone else was. And I had to go quarterback. I couldn't wait. When Tony Romo goes off the board and you don't have a quarterback, you're looking at desperate times.
Yeah, and I think Russell Wilson right there, right after him, goes Eli Manning to the Morgantown Bullets. Brandon Myers, tight end, goes first defense, goes mid-7th round, the Bears defense special teams. Ever a reason to take a defense this early, Dennis?
No.
Okay. Now, the next pick, this pick, I find we spent a lot of time on it last week or the week before. I don't know, they all run together at this point. the most interesting pick in the draft, the biggest question mark, I think the biggest upside, which is strange to say with a guy who's been in the league this long, the Intramural All-Stars taking Michael Vick with the 93rd overall pick. You want to talk about boom or bust. If there was ever an offense made for Michael Vick, this is it. It's looking good. It's getting solid. I understand he lacks weapons around him. This is a guy I am targeting. I never, and I mean never, draft a second quarterback. I'm very content to go to the waiver wire when my quarterback's on the bye. This is a guy I am targeting and I am drafting as a number two quarterback based on the potential in this offense alone.
I like Michael Vick because he can bring you top seven quarterback potential if he's playing his game at the top of it. This is a different offense. It's a read-first kind of offense where, you know, you take the first read and you go with it. I think his passing yards go up, his rushing yards go down, but most importantly, he stays healthy.
And that's the key if you're going to have Michael Vick, that's for sure. And then we go, I'm not sure exactly when your draft took place, but Le'Veon Bell at the 94th spot. Of course, he's not out completely, but...
It was Saturday.
Oh, okay.
After the injury, Saturday. So, you know, oh well.
Yeah, I think a guy, when you get down here, if you're happy with your team to this point, this is a guy you go ahead, draft, and stash. Yeah, this is a guy going mid-second round, not 3 weeks ago. Definitely out 6 weeks. We'll see what happens after that. I have no issue. We're starting to get to the time I have no issue with drafting and stashing right now.
No, I agree there.
Look, Le'Veon Bell's only supposed to miss, Bell's only supposed to miss 6 to 8 weeks. That puts us at week five. Could be an amazing value right there if he comes back and is healthy and take over the job.
Yeah, no question about it. And you can have Jonathan Dwyer for a song if you're weak at running back. I'll take that chance for a couple weeks. In 4 or 5 games, Jonathan Dwyer will give you 1 or 2 games reasonably resembling a fantasy football game. So move on from there. Anquan Boldin, 95. I like the pick there from Beezer. Steve Johnson, 96. Now here's a guy. Would have been easier to say before the announcement came out yesterday about Mr. Tool starting a quarterback. This is a guy drafted a lot higher, was a big disappointment last year. We know what he's capable of, sort of shaping up. This could be if they could get their quarterback situation straightened out. I know that's a big if. Steve Johnson going 96 overall. You want to talk about value. Am I getting wrapped up in the name, or is there some value there?
Love him still, no matter who the quarterback is. There is a subtle move that happened with him that not many people picked up. He went from playing on the outside to playing the slot receiver, which basically means he takes over the Wes Welker role. And I absolutely love him no matter who he is playing underneath, especially in PPR leagues. Yet, you know, I was on Dave Glover's show the day before talking about how much I loved him. He sniped him for me at 96 because I thought he'd fall to me, you know, in the hundreds. But he didn't, and you know what? It's a great value, and I'm not worried any bit of who their quarterback is.
Yeah, and Buffalo's bad, and I can see garbage time points in a lot of these games. I mean, they open up with New England. Look, that could be a 45-3 blowout and maybe get a couple junk points right there, you know, touchdowns. I mean, so, yeah, Steve Johnson's going to put up some fantasy numbers. I'm really getting excited about getting to round 8 here because I think it's quite humorous. We round that round 7 with Schaub and Greg Jennings. Going to round 8, it starts off defense, defense, defense in the 8th round. I mean, I never saw such a run on defenses that early in a draft. Granted, Seahawks, 49ers, and then the Texans. And then later on in that same round, another defense goes with the Patriots. I don't see the value in taking defenses that early, so I think we'll just hit on some players that may be some good value. Sidney Rice from Seattle. I like Sidney Rice. I think the kid's got all the tools. He's had a couple years where he was banged up, but you know, now that Percy Harvin's gone, they still have a pretty good set of receivers and Russell Wilson and a great running back. I mean, I see value in Sidney Rice.
I don't have any complaints to the Slayton Sidney Rice. I'm not concerned one bit about the knee issue he had in Sweden. Great value.
So moving on from there, Antonio Gates, yeah, here's a real question mark. We've seen the likes of Kyle Rudolph and Owen Daniels and so on and so forth. Greg Olsen going ahead of Antonio Gates. Look, this is a guy, if he's healthy, he's still Antonio Gates. Name a wide receiver out there in San Diego. This is a guy, if I can get him in round 8, if I can get him at pick 103, that's a risk I am certainly willing to take. I like Antonio Gates here at 103.
And look, market value has all these other tight ends going two more rounds earlier than him. Value-wise, based on where everybody went, Antonio Gates at 103 is a great value.
So moving on from there, Ronnie Hillman. Yeah, this is an interesting pick now. We're basically, Coach Fox come out yesterday or today, I don't remember when it was, calling them basically 1A, 1B. I tend to believe when the dust settles, you're going to see Monte Ball ending up number one. But here you got Monte Ball going in the third round, I believe. You're dropping all the way to the eighth round for Ronnie Hillman. Is it worth taking a risk on, number one, either of these guys? I don't think I take the risk on Monte Ball as early as you have to. Ronnie Hillman, here's a guy I like to grab, and I like to stash him away, and I love that pick as well at 104. I see, after the defense, run a lot of value here in the eighth round.
You know, unfortunately, I'm on the other side where I think Knowshon Moreno wins the job and holds on to it for a few weeks. I think Knowshon Moreno's block passing ability puts him in the starting lineup over Hillman. And, you know, where Knowshon Moreno's going based on where Hillman's going, I'm skittish on his value.
Yeah, and going back to taking some value picks with Hillman, I like the value picking Andre Brown in the eighth. David Wilson went in the third round, and you pick up Andre Brown at 106 for the Giants. I think that's just fabulous value. I think this guy is going to be solid.
That's who I was targeting this round. Unfortunately, I didn't steal him. I think Andre Brown's one of those guys that can have 600 yards rushing, 7 to 8 touchdowns, maybe even 10.
Yeah, so moving on. Dennis, we're running out of time here. I'd like to keep going through it pick by pick. Maybe take a step back here, look at the teams overall, where you see what teams you thought shook out, who you want to make fun of, everything. We'll step back and sort of let you break down how it all shook out.
Listen, after this, I take Bryce Brown. I get Kimbrel Tompkins in the ninth, Jordan Cameron, Danny Woodhead, Greg Zuerlein, Carson Palmer, Cordarrelle Patterson in the 14th. And so on and so on. I really think that I have one of the more well-rounded teams. You guys have had a chance to take a look at it. I'll step back and let you guys rate my team.
Look, for your team, I love the top end of it. I do like Arian Foster. I have my concerns. However, I've had my concerns 4 years in a row. I'm sort of, let's be honest, I'm taking the contrarian opinion. A guy, unless I'm getting down in 8, 9, 10, I'm not going to take the risk on him. Can't argue with it. Love Demaryius Thomas. Look, I'm really high. I love the Vernon Davis pick there. You know, another one that's burned me. I think when we're looking at your team, risk reward. I'm not a Randall Cobb fan, but to your point, high ceiling. T.Y. Hilton, high ceiling, could be a boom or bust situation. Seeing how it shook out, how you compare to your competitors. I do. I like the team. I think there's a lot of risk there. If it all pans out, or if most of it pans out, I think you set up for a decent season.
See, I'm on the other side of the coin. I think you have, and don't think that I'm just starting to like you because I say this, but I don't think you took that big of a risk, to be honest with you. I think T.Y. Hilton's not that big of a risk. I don't think Cobb's that big of a risk. Foster, we talked about that. He's a great pick at where he was, and, of course, Demaryius Thomas. Vernon Davis, good, solid tight end. I love D'Angelo Williams, where you got him. Russell Wilson. And, you know, we kind of skipped over, you got Carson Palmer as your second quarterback. Now, you know, he's basically still kind of just in the dark there. Nobody's really paying a whole lot of attention to him. But let's not forget, he went over 4,000 yards with a crummy team last year, and I think that was a great pick in, what was it, 173rd pick overall. Certainly could contribute to your team. And Danny Woodhead, nice little addition there. Jordan Cameron, I think that's another great pick at tight end. Little heavy at tight end there, but so what? I like both of them. Bryce Brown's a good value. I think you got a good, solid team.
Wow. Really quickly, before you run out of time, who was the steal of the draft? One player.
For me, I got to go back to it. I said it again. Antonio Brown at 78 overall, Team Cold Wind. I know somebody's got to finish last based on that pick alone. Maybe Team Cold Wind pulled themselves out of the cellar one click above Team Zonka.
I think I'm going to go with I think I may have to go with Team Livingston taking Daryl Richardson at 83. I think he has tremendous upside as a starting running back. I'm kind of torn, and I like your 117th pick at Kenbrell Tompkins, with New England. You know, look, that's an awful potent offense, and what he's been doing in preseason, ooh, he could be super high ceiling. So I think it's either Tompkins or Richardson.
Oh, good picks, guys.
How about you? What is your steal in the draft?
Oh, that's a tough one. Concern. I just left my laptop. I would probably have to go with. I like my Kimbrel Tompkins pick. I'm a little skittish on him though, because no one knows who the guy is going to be. Granted, like we said earlier, just because some guy has a great preseason doesn't mean he's going to step up and be the guy when it comes time for game planning. You know what? Daryl Richardson. I'm going to have to go with that pick.
Yeah, can't argue with that. Love Daryl Richardson down there. A lot of value. That sixth round in this draft, a lot of teams made a big difference. Goes back to the point, Rick, we always make, don't give up, don't get hammered until like the 10th or 11th round when really nobody cares. Stay sober for the first six or eight rounds.
Oh, definitely. You know, and it's interesting, we touched on the Denver backs real quick. It is interesting that Knowshon Moreno went at 209. Now, here's a guy, I mean, you know, probably not going to be the starter. I don't think he's going to win the job, but I think, I said it many times, I think he's going to be third down back many times, red zone touches. Is he going to be win this guy a championship? No, but I think he can probably contribute to his team at 209. I mean, what's it cost you?
Nothing. And the fact that I personally think he has the potential to start out in. Let's be honest, if this guy starts out, has a decent first three or four games, you can get something out of him come trade time. You package him with maybe a Colin Kaepernick, who you have two quarterbacks now, you know, something crazy like that. I think you can get more value return on him by week four if he's healthy and playing well.
Yeah, and, you know, Peyton Manning has a lot to do with these teams, and they have a good rapport, and he's a good pass blocker, as you mentioned earlier. Peyton says, hey, I like this guy in there. You, like you said, he could certainly get a lot of playing time.
I'm with you. I think I think through the first 4 weeks, if you have him, you trade him. But I think best case scenario through 4 weeks, you might get a couple of 70-yard rushing games, a receiving touchdown because he does have hands. And, maybe you get a bad game in there, but I think three out of those four games he produces with maybe three touchdowns.
Yeah, no question about it. And if you have some injury concerns, maybe if you drafted early and you have a Le'Veon Bell, something like that, something to look at. Well, Rick, we have blown past the hour. Dennis, thank you so much. Hey, before we get you out of here, we've talked all the fantasy football. Rick, I'm more asking you, Dennis may know. Do you guys know what twerking is? Have you heard of the twerking phenomenon?
I'm going to pass on this. I do know, but I don't like where this is going.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know what was that something the guy wrote, something unfollow. I thought it was good for you.
Well, I'm not going to get into it.
GFY, I thought
this
it
could go down
a
bad road, but apparently on the VMAs the other day, Rick, you know what that is? That's the MTV where they play the rock music these days. Anyhow, that little girl that was Hannah Montana, Billy Ray Cyrus's kid, she did what they do, and they go, calm down.
Not pretend like you have no clue who she is.
It's,
I mean, I've seen
kid.
Your little posters of her in your house.
No, not her.
You know, so.
She's got a mohawk now. She's too skinny for me. But there's this phenomenon. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to describe it. I'll do it for you, Rick, when we get off the air and show you what it is. But I have to recommend, men, go to YouTube and just put in twerking. And I can't recommend it enough. It's changed my life. Until 3 days ago, I didn't know what it was. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. So I just want to leave on that note. Rick Fleeger is two thumbs up on twerking.
I trust Dennis. He said it's going down the wrong road. He's staying away from it. That's what I'm doing.
Did your wife come home? Is that why you're not allowed to talk about it?
No. Oh. She's not here. I watched the VMAs, sadly. Unfortunately, I will not be able to sleep at night. I'm going to need some Lunesta and lots of vodka.
Well, see, unfortunately, Hannah Montana doesn't have the right statue for the kind of twerking that I think is necessary.
Like so, a 12-year-old boy.
What exactly? So don't go there. Go to YouTube. There's some young ladies who are just better created for twerking, and that's what I would recommend. This has changed my life completely. I've been sitting here. That's why if I seem a little disconnected, I've been watching these videos throughout the entire show. It's really all I can do. Hell, I don't even know if we're on the air because I've spent more time on YouTube than I have in our chat room and anywhere else.
I will have you know that I do not condone it. There's no chance that I'm going to watch it. How much longer is this show, by the way?
Oh, we blew over time.
Oh, I better go. I'm going to go YouTube twerking. Yeah, twerking.
Twerking with a T. I don't know what twerking is. That might send you down the wrong road, my friend.
It's a throw my life off.
I know what clerking is. I mean, you know, because there's... But that's about it.
God, you're old. Anyhow, well, let's get out of here.
Sensible.
You're old. So, Dennis, thank you so much. We really appreciate it being a part of this draft. Well, not part of the draft, but being able to go over it with you. How about one more time real quick where everybody can find you, where they can find your show, which I believe is going to have a lot of similarities to this show this week.
It actually is your show. I'm really lazy and didn't feel like recording my own, so I just kind of hit record on yours since, you know, I'm like the third wheel now. But, look, Facebook me. I'm always on Facebook, sadly. You can hit me up there, Dennis. F-A-R-R-E-L-L. If you're on Twitter, follow me. There's no reason why not. It doesn't cost you any money to follow me. Dennis77Farrell. And shoot me an email if you got a question. You'll find somewhere around here.
And we're going to have to bring Dennis in to give us a tutorial on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah. And whatever you do, those of you on Facebook, listen closely. Do not, and I mean do not, send Dennis twerking videos on his Facebook. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want to see it. Please do not do that. You understand me? Don't do it. Please don't do it.
But don't, I mean, and look, don't forget you can MySpace me.
Is that still around?
I don't know, but I'm going to throw it out there. Head over to my Pinterest. I got great stuff over there.
You aren't serious.
Your soft baked cookie recipe.
Because my
Pinterest.
Daughter is a is an art major, and she is on that stuff all the time.
No, not a chance.
Okay, there you go.
All right, let's get out of here before I say something really stupid and Dennis never wants to talk to us again.
He probably done that anyway.
Well, that's a good point. So thank you, everyone, for listening to the Tuesday Night Blitz. Sorry we were late tonight. That's my fault. We will be back next Tuesday on the Blitz in our usual 6:30 time slot. And don't forget, a week from Sunday, we break out the Rick, I just forgot the name of it because I'm doing my fast talk announcer guy thing, the name of the Sunday show that's going to be coming out 1 week from Sunday.
Yes.
You forgot it, too.
No, I didn't. Asylum Inside Slam.
All right, until then, thank you one more time to Dennis Farrell from the Fantasy Sideline Show. Hit us up on Twitter, @AsylumFootball. Send us your draft and lineup questions. We're going to be talking lineups next week, Rick. AsylumFootball@gmail.com. Thank you to our friends at 88.1 FM, WSRU, the voice of the Rock.
And Rick, the Listeners League.
The Listeners League, that's right. We'll hit on that. I will announce it. I will get the invitations out this week. We'll draft as soon as the show ends next Tuesday, so be prepared for that about 8 o'clock next Tuesday. We're going to run two leagues. I think we should be able to get most everybody in who wanted in. So back to my announcer voice. Thanks for listening one more time. Until next week, we'll see you.
Take care.
I love this song.
That figures.
Here, I'm going to twerk while this song's on. Watch this.
It's pathetic.
Watch this.
Oh, my God. That is horrible.
That's hot.
That is literally horrible.
That's hot is what that is.
That is just horrible.
The song or my twerking?
The song.
What's wrong with the song?
Oh, it's horrible.
Oh, God.